The apostles said, oh no, don't fellowship with that person. And the way they separate themselves is by walking after their ungodly lusts. Now, like I said, the whole modern church of today is eaten up in all this. And so they're separate. They don't have to separate themselves. They all accept each other. And they're, oh, yeah, we're all sinners. Yeah, isn't it great? We're all together again and we're sinners. We believe in Jesus and we're sinners. But he counts us righteous because we just believe he died on the cross. And that's what he died on the cross for, was so that we would believe in him and he wouldn't count our sins against us. And the thing is, that is part of the gospel. But it's not the whole story. The gospel is not just like he died on our cross to cover our sins. There's more to it than that. He also died, he also rose from the dead that we might have power. That we too could die and rise again. That we could rise again, not in the physical resurrection, but in a resurrection of our lives, of our earthly lives, that they come, we are like those who are alive from the dead, meaning we don't yield our bodies to sin anymore because we are living in a newness of life, which is Christ in us. They separate themselves because of the wickedness they do, but today it's like, well, you know what, I see examples of it in my little circle of friends in my church and so on. Where I see people who, you know, purposefully want to separate themselves because of the ungodliness issue. You know, they feel like they need to separate because of, you know, they kind of feel uncomfortable coming around when, you know, they got a lot of bad things going on. The preaching comes against it hard. They come there and they feel uncomfortable, so they don't want to go. And they live, you know, a few blocks away or whatever, you know. Verse 20, but ye beloved, when he said they were suchikos, they had not the spirit, but ye beloved, you know, it's kind of funny, right? When people say I'm spiritual, I was filling out a profile of myself or something, and there was a religions, and they had a big long list. It was a Christian, Buddhist, blah, 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 Catholic, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, I put Christian. And one of them was spiritual. And I love people who say, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. You're suchikos. You're not spiritual, you're soulical. You're just soulical. You know, it's like, you don't have the spirit. I'm spiritual, though. Okay, whatever you say you are, you are. I don't care. Claim whatever you want to be, okay? I'm just saying from the biblical perspective, they're not spiritual. If a man seemed to be spiritual and bridle not his tongue. Actually, I think that was religious. Anyways. But remember that it's like sensual, having not the spirit. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The mercy of God leads us to eternal life. But look how it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy unto eternal life. It's something, it is our hope. But what a man possesses, he doesn't hope for it anymore. He's got it. See, though these things belong to us from before the foundation of the world, It was set up for us in that. Even so, now, we wait for it, though it's ours. We make our calling and election sure, though to God it's absolute. To us, though, we don't know what we are. We come into this life, you know, we think, well, we look at the Bible, there's lots of people who think, oh, I want to be part of Jesus. Because of the promises, oh, I want to be part of that. I want to be big in heaven someday, you know. Hey, why not, right? People don't realize, well, big in heaven. That's a big joke. But there's a sort of like, people kind of want to carry on the same way that they are in the earth into heaven, as though there was any resemblance between the two. When he says, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. What is the faith? Again, the faith, and very simply, you know, Jesus died on the cross. His blood gives us the forgiveness of sin and also cleanses us from all iniquity. Meaning, it is the power by which we obtain all kinds of righteousness, godliness, and same thing with the resurrection. It's along the same lines. He died, he was buried, he died, and so we also die to sin, that we might live unto God in the Spirit, and that we might live because of righteousness. But as the next book we're going to cover, John, which is actually the book before this, or two books back, 1 John, says, little children, don't let anyone deceive you, okay, concerning what righteousness is. He says, he that does righteousness is righteous. You have to actually perform righteousness. If you do not perform righteousness, you're not righteous. Now, if you're elect of God, he will impute righteousness to you when you believe. Meaning, he'll count you as righteous without you having actually performed it yet. But if you are truly called of God, he's going to put a certain diligence in you that you're going to follow after and add to your faith, virtue. And you're going to add to your virtue, knowledge. You're going to add to your knowledge, patience. You're going to add to your patience, temperance. You're going to add to temperance, godliness. You're going to add to godliness, kindness. You're going to add to kindness, love. That is what the election of God does. The calling, it's made sure by the diligence which God gives. All these things are given from God. That's the grace of God. God is being gracious to us. He's giving us things. He's gifting us things. He's making us into his sons. He isn't saying, hey, become my sons. You do it. Muster up some faith. Muster up some righteousness. Let me see your best. And neither is he saying, here, just if you would only accept me, then I'll accept you. I'd accept everyone if they would just believe on me. No. God is sure what he wants. He knows what he wants. And if he loves you, he's going to save you. Just like you would do. Just like the cops would do. If someone had a gun to their head and was going to kill themselves, and they knew they could stop them, they would. Because their love is strong for that person. Even if they don't even like them, they'd stop them. And what I'm saying is, they want to make man more righteous than God. Because they portray God as like, he loves everyone, but he doesn't want to lift a finger to make them get saved. Because if he forces them, that'll violate their free will. And that's more important than anything, is that they could have free will. Because he doesn't want them to love him unless they really want to. They have to really want to love him. They have to, you know...